Welcome to another episode of the PhotoFacts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
This podcast was recorded on the Rodecaster Pro, the world's first fully integrated podcast production console. With 4 mic channels, 8 sound pads for triggering effects and music, the ability to bring in phone and Skype calls, and powerful onboard audio processing. It's the perfect solution whether you're just getting into podcasting or you're a seasoned pro.
Oh, baby!
So you had 45 seconds.
I couldn't think of anything else.
And that's what you came up with was, oh, baby.
It's always something goofy.
It is.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's ching-ching and start this up.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much to CastleSpiritsDistillery.com in Oklahoma City.
What are their names? I forget their names. The owners?
I don't know if they're the owners or not.
Yeah, they're the owners.
Are they the owners?
They do the stuff.
Vicky's the one that always fixes
Vicky, okay.
Vicky and Russell.
Russell, okay.
Russell's the one that I talk to when I send them the email, but Vicky is the one I talk to online. She's a hoot.
Yeah.
That girl, and you know, we need to go down there and see that place.
I know. I keep
don't know
saying,
when they're going to give us a little invite.
Yeah.
You know why?
What's that?
Well, because they're into making whiskey, and we're into photography, and like, you know, we don't coexist.
I want to go in there and shoot some stuff for them. It's a video or something. Like
shoot some shots.
Yeah.
Shoot some shots. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm tired, Jim.
I know. You told
me. I'm tired. We had the first ever PhotoCon Live in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So.
I think it was great once it got going, once it got the kinks out. You know.
Well, you know, I thought it was it was excellent. It was really impressed on how well the crew did.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Williams.
Mackey. Or Eric.
And then Eric. Mackey. I kept calling him Aaron. I have him Aaron in my phone book.
Eric,
but I think his name is Eric.
Yeah. Eric Mackey.
Eric Mackey.
And Jeff Moore.
Jeff Moore was helping. And Ryan West was helping do some video and doing some behind-the-scenes shooting.
Ryan West. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sexy boy.
Sexy boy? Okay.
Oh, you won't in there all the time.
No,
never mind.
No.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, so they had a great crew there taking care of that. We went live. You know, so just because it's our podcast and we can say what the hell we want, I'd like to see some changes next year. I'm gonna draft up an email and I'm going to send it to Eric.
In March?
No.
Or the next time we do a live.
The next time we do a live. Yeah. So the plan, if I understand correctly, is to do in person in March. Mm-hmm. And then later in the year, do a live event.
Just like they did.
Just like they did. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to cut the videos off versus continue running live for 7 hours.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Felt like I was in a telephone waiting for the telephones to ring.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think it could just be a screen or maybe just run videos like we did at the zoo.
Right, yeah. You know? Something to where, because we were... you know, okay, so me, for example.
Run commercials.
You know? You know, I did basically a 20-22 slide presentation that if I'm in front of a live audience, I have people, you know, normally the Bedford staff is in the back waving cue cards telling me, hurry up and get off the freaking stage because I'm running over. And this time I ran like a solid 25 minutes short.
Yeah.
I mean, I was...
Well, you didn't have questions.
I didn't have any interaction. I completely fell flat without having any... I had no feedback from the audience. I didn't have that energy.
Yeah. I was in there. I could tell you were...
Like, oh, I was struggling.
You didn't know what to do.
Dude, I was struggling bad. I had nobody laughing at jokes. I mean,
it was a great talk. You did great. But as far as those moments where you were... hoping for there was like
some kind of
something. Yeah,
you want to know that they're receiving the information and that you're going the right direction. If they're not, then you can side little rabbit hole and go into something else.
Yeah,
and then our good friend Doug Hoke
was asleep. I was going to say if
out
the few people that you had in there, one of them was asleep.
Oh, not only asleep, he was out. His ponytail was bebopping like you were fishing on the lazy stream. Oh, it was just ba-bam, ba-bam, ba-bam.
Oh, God.
He was out.
Head bobbing.
You know, so that's another thing, too. I think we need to have a Roman camera in those so they can, like, see the audience when they fall asleep. Because I totally would like pointing at Doug and have him come around.
Yeah.
But it was a great time. You know, there was a lot of interaction at the store. I went down to the store to talk to Brandon Hess from Westcott, mm-hmm. And it was busy. I mean, it was like pumping busy.
Yeah, speaking of Brandon, if you're listening, dude, I am so sorry that your podcast messed up. Something happened to the board, and that's never happened to me before. It just it stopped recording, so.
Yeah. And I hear you had a great conversation.
Oh, it was great.
He came out, was talking like how great Jim Felder was and
that, I'm sure
how amazing. Yeah. And then you tell me that, you know, mm-hmm. the board screwed up. I was like, what?
Yeah. I was disappointed. But,
which is crazy because we had Ryan White there from Road mm-hmm. the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And neither one of us said a thing to him about the board. Did you? Because
no,
I didn't.
No.
I didn't even think about it.
Well, I didn't feel like he was the guy, you know. I mean, he's from Road, yeah.
What do you mean he's not the guy? He's the guy.
Yeah, but he's not.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's...
He is the guy.
Okay.
Now, the guy that we normally talk to is Sean.
Right.
Sean's pushing papers.
Yeah.
Road's in, you know, Brian's in the field. He's solving problems.
Yeah.
We should give out his phone number. We should give out his personal phone number on the line. Maybe not.
I don't think so. So our guest is patiently waiting. So
oh, she
anything
is.
Else?
She is. I don't know. Do you have anything?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Nothing at all? Nothing to report?
No.
You're thinking? No?
I'm thinking, yeah.
Nothing?
Yeah. Except for the house thing. It's still not done. But
Okay, how about we give him an update?
Update on my house?
On your house, yes.
Just waiting on the... I'm waiting on the second round of the estimate from the new contractor. Yeah.
But you're able to flush now the toilets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, two of them, not the third one.
But you can flush two, and you can flush a number two.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm just checking. Make sure.
One shower, one full bath. The other full bath is completely not in place. It's
the main one
the main
is not
bath,
the
yeah,
it's not even working yet.
No, it's there's no vanity, there's no sinks, anything. It's just all
no.
Vacant.
But the plumbing works.
The plumbing is there. It's ready to take plumbing.
Oh, there's not even a toilet in there.
Oh no. No, it's been that way for 2 months.
Wow. So is everybody using your bathroom in the master bedroom?
No, not everybody. There's a hall. There's a bathroom in the office.
Right.
Half bath.
And right, right.
The shower, you know.
The shower's in your room.
Yeah.
Does that make it uncomfortable to sleep in the morning time when people have to go to the bathroom?
No, they don't come in there to use the bathroom. They have the
office. But they just come in to use the shower.
Yeah, but that doesn't be used that much. I use it almost every day. So.
Oh my god, I use it almost every day.
No, I use it just
first.
About every day.
It is a fact now that Jim is a dirty old man.
No,
dude. Listen, I take a bath every third day, whether I need it or not.
Yeah,
it's good. Okay, Jim is now playing with his whiskey, so we're going to unmute our special guest. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I was hoping you didn't, you know, snooze away there.
Or disconnect, because the computer's to my back. So if you'd have left us, we wouldn't have known. Be like, hello, hello. It'd be like crickets going.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. So you know what? We didn't get your pronunciation of last name, so I'm going to try it.
Just Conklin.
I'm Spanish, so... I went with Conklin, didn't
yeah.
I?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, we rock. Because we screw up so much stuff.
Yeah.
So, Allison, the reason we want you on here is because you are amazing, and you were a breath of sunshine in my COVID-19 days with your shots of Ringo. Can you tell us about that project?
Oh, well, thanks so much. Yeah, I mean, I think like all of us, we were in the very beginning just like watching the news and scrolling, and like that was my life. And I needed something to do. My whole like year had been canceled with the weddings that we shoot. Mm. And so my husband and I were like, we need to have a project, something to do, something to keep us, you know, busy while we're like staying inside. And we have two Great Danes. And randomly, we know that one of them loves to wear clothes, which is Ringo. So he's like 160 pounds. And we were like, why don't we just like come up with a silly photo every day for him? It'll keep us busy and give us something to do and hopefully just make people laugh. And so we started it. And it was fun because we basically would make a list and we would come up with like different ideas and how to implement them. And I was painting things and like creating like crazy things to go along with the photos and like curbside picking up like my friend's kids' toys to use. And it got to the point where Ringo would know we would wake up in the morning and he would like walk over to the corner where we would shoot it. And he'd just be like, okay, I'm waiting for you to dress me and take my photo. And it was just, it was really fun and it totally distracted me and got me out of like
the funk,
the sadness. Yeah, the fog and like the scrolling and the, you know, anxiety of it.
Wow. That's so cute.
Oh, it was adorable. Like, I don't know how. I think I actually saw your work the first time on a Fuji Friday forum. Or is it a Friday Fuji forum? I know it has three F's in it.
Yeah, it's one of those. But yeah, I did the first one with them, which was great.
Yeah, and so that you showed up on radar, and I thought, well, let me go see what this girl's about. And of course, I click on there, and I see Ringo, which I mistakenly call Rocky. Are you seeing some of the photos? Which one is it? Show me, show me.
The octopus.
Oh, the octopus, yeah. We're going to share your Instagram with all our listeners. We'll give them all your details, but you just go on Instagram and just scroll back and forth, and you just can't help but laugh. But so how did COVID affect you? I mean, obviously you do a lot of weddings and editorial, and everybody stayed home, and you're on the East Coast, correct?
Correct, yep. I'm in right outside of Philadelphia.
Outside of Philadelphia. You're not near Scranton, are you?
I mean, kind of. I mean, Scranton's like an hour and a half away.
So. Okay. You know what? I may have come up by your house a couple of years ago. Well, probably like, well, back in the 80s. You're still a young baby. You probably weren't even born back then. But I was actually driving to New York to visit a friend of mine, and I got off the road to get gas, and it was outside of Scranton. And you know, I went down the side road, and it was one of those where you had to go down like an extra mile or so to get back on the highway. Mm-hmm. And I never got back on the highway. It was like an hour later, and I'm out in the country going on. And this is before GPS and all that kind of stuff. I'm just using a paper map. And I was lost in Scranton for an hour and a half before I was able to get back to the highway. You guys got some screwed up roads in Pennsylvania.
Huh. They can't be any worse than Oklahoma's roads, okay?
I think the people from Pennsylvania came to Oklahoma and made our roads afterwards. It could be. You can just jump in here anytime, Allison. This is an open conversation.
Well, if you would stop moving your lips, you'd probably be able to talk.
Taking it all in.
Just take it all in. It's just a casual conversation. So we talked a little bit before the show, and I kind of got a little bit of insight that you're young, you're very young in photography, and I'm curious on how you got started. I do know the story, but our listeners don't. So if you could share how you got going in photography.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my parents were chemists by trade, and so they were really into photography and darkroom stuff. So like growing up, my parents would turn their bathrooms into dark rooms, and I always had a camera in my face and just sort of had my parents always photographing everything. I'm an only child, so I was sort of the center of all of that. When I was 14, my mom suddenly passed away, and my dad was suddenly a single father of a teenage girl. So we always say the joke is he didn't know what to do with me, so he built me a dark room. He was like, I don't know what to do with you, so go in the basement. What happened was I had fallen in love with all of the photographs of my parents and all the photographs of like that had been taken, because I had been put in charge of, you know, when someone dies, you go through, all the photos you have, right? So that's like something. And I was put in charge of doing that for the memorial service. And I remember just like asking my dad all the questions in the world about photography and being like, wait, hold on, you actually are developing these negatives and you're making these prints, you made this, like, wait, I need to know all of the things. So he built me the darkroom. And at 18, I photographed my first wedding, and that was 22 years ago. So,
Wow. She is young. She gave lots of clues to the listeners.
Yeah. So that's how I started. I did film. My dad, you know, gave me his camera, and it was the Canon AE-1. And I used that for a long time and then switched eventually to digital And then picked up a Fujifilm camera and I was sold. So,
were you still in high school or had you just graduated or what?
At what point?
When you said 22 years ago.
Oh, she was 18 years old.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, but I mean, 18, yeah. But yeah, I mean, so
it was like high school. It was the end of my senior year and yeah. I got hired to shoot a wedding. Wow. I didn't know them. And it was really funny because to practice, I dressed up my friends in like the prom suit and one of my friend's mom's wedding dresses from like the 70s and like paraded them around where the wedding was going to be and like practiced because I like literally had never gone to a wedding before. So wow. I had no idea what I was doing.
How did you get hired to do a wedding in high school?
Well, okay. So I was 14. My mom died. I had this dark room. This is all I literally do. I am developing prints all the time. So basically that means I'm taking pictures of my friends constantly. I get in yearbook. I become like the co-editor of our high school yearbook. I'm photographing at our little school constantly, you know, shooting that same day. It's like the best 1 hour photo going home, and developing negatives. So I don't know. It was like somebody was looking for a photographer and, they were like youth leaders maybe. And like my friend who was in their youth group was like, well, my friend takes photos. Cause I had done a bunch of senior photos. Like I did all the senior portraits for our school. I did them for like our juniors when they became seniors. So it just sort of, I don't know, happened. I mean, and you have to remember this is like way before social media. So this is all like word of mouth. And
oh, we had social media back then. It just was like a very small group of people.
That's just AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I just had flashbacks. It almost knocked me back in my chair.
Right. Sorry.
Wow.
So I shot my first wedding. It was at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania. And I actually made my dad photograph some of it with me. I was like, you're going to be my second shooter. Not that I even probably called it that because I didn't even realize what that was. But he photographed like the grounds of the college and I photographed like everything else. And when I say everything else, I mean like everything else because I had no gauge on what I should be shooting because again, it's not like I had a blog I could look at or I had ever like gone with someone else to look and see how they shot weddings. It was going off of like what I felt was important. And what I loved about photography in the first place was how powerful it was and how you can really get a sense of who someone is through a photograph and also how you can get a sense of who the person is behind a camera, right? So like, not only for me, like loving the photos that I had of my mom that my dad would take that were candid and beautiful and like mid laughter, I also had pictures of her. Like I had pictures of myself that she took. So like, for me, when I look at them, I think I know how she saw me because I had these pictures, right? Like we can all have the same subject and person or whatever, but we're all going to take a slightly different photograph because we're all going to look at something differently. Our experiences are different. So it's going to make us look at, you know, whatever we're looking at differently than the person next to us. Yeah. So that's how I went into it. I was like, what do I love? I love the crazy emotion of weddings and all of that stuff. So I was definitely terrified, but I loved it. And they're still married and they have like lots of babies and it's great.
I was going to ask if they were still married.
They are still married. It's so obviously they're celebrating they celebrated their 22nd anniversary in August.
Wow,
so.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. We're friends on Facebook. So I know these things.
Oh that's my awesome. God. That's now do you send them? Jim is like, are you liking her images too while you're scrolling up and down on Instagram? Or are you just stalking
her? I'm sorry.
Her?
I'm just stalking.
Because when I stalk her, I actually like to show her that I love her.
Yes, I should go back and like those, huh?
You know, not like she doesn't get enough freaking social media anyway. I mean, you know, I'm lucky if I get 30 people to like one of my images. She's got
shoot,
like,
I'm lucky if I get 5.
I know, and 2 is your mom and me. So
yeah.
So on the weddings, you must be doing really good. I mean, you must really enjoy weddings to be doing this long and still be enthusiastic about it.
I do. I mean, like every wedding has the same like bones of things that are going to happen, right? But I really love, I'm so enamored with people's stories. And there's been like a lot of things that have happened to me in my life that have just constantly reminded me that we're just so lucky to have anything. Like, you know what I mean? It's just be so grateful. I'm sure, I don't know if you know that story, but I went blind. So like,
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
Spoiler alert, I got my sight back, but I had a brain tumor.
Oh my God, because I was going to say, shit, she shoots damn good for being blind. Like, that was a, like, oh my God, I'm getting ready to go to the, go get an ice pick and take my eyes out. Wow. Okay. No. So tell us that story, because that may just become the title. The Blind Fuji Photographer. That's what you call clickbait.
Yeah.
There you go. So I had just photographed my first cookbook, and I was so excited for it to come out. Like, photographing a book was like on the bucket list. And I had this big party in Philadelphia. And then literally the next day, I'm waking up to get my kids ready for school. And I open my eyes and I can't see anything. Like, I literally cannot see anything. It feels like not blackness, but like if there was like 30 things of saran wrap over my eyes. And I'm like rubbing my eyes. I'm like, am I just tired? Like, what's happening? And my husband takes me to the emergency room. They do a CAT scan, and I have a really big brain tumor sitting on my optic nerve, and I have to go into emergency brain surgery. And they're like, we've done three other surgeries this week, and two of those people didn't get their sight back, and we don't know, but we're gonna go and put you in there now.
Wow.
Dang. Yeah. So I had but obviously I got it all back, but like, that doesn't ever, I don't ever forget that. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I was even looking at some beautiful like leaves. It's fall here in Pennsylvania, and it's so pretty. And I'm just like, the world's kind of crazy, but I'm so grateful to even just see how beautiful the foliage is. And I know it sounds so silly, but like, when you're really like faced with the idea that like, you're so lucky to just have the simplest things that you take for granted every day. Like, I never lose any of that.
Mm. No, because Jim can share a similar story. He's been having a lot of eye issues.
Yeah, well, I had a detached retina just from being old and a thin retina. It's, yeah. So I have vision in one eye, in both eyes, but one eye is not perfect. I'll just say that. So, yeah.
What do you do about that? What's the...
Nothing. You just, okay. It's one of them's warped, like the view of it. My right eye is distorted. Like, it's similar to looking at a Snapchat filter. And I'm not trying to be funny. It's serious. I'm serious. It's like, it's just kind of distorted where it's kind of stretched on the left side. But, you know, and I used to be a right eye shooter, and now I'm a lefty. You know, I can't.
But see, here's the thing, is that you are able to mitigate the situations because you have two eyes.
Right.
She lost all the eyesight.
Yeah, exactly.
How freaking crazy is that?
Man.
Like, I would...
I mean, I had those thoughts, you know. I was like, what if? You know, here's what's going to... What is it going to... Because I don't have anybody in my family I don't even know anybody that's blind.
In your family?
Or know anyone that's blind. I've never been around it. I've just seen it. I've seen, you know, people speak at different things, like... different events I've shot, you know, some kind of vision related thing. And I heard people talk about macular degeneration, which my mom has. And, you know, some stories that I was like, oh my gosh, I should.
Well, you know, this here is a very interesting conversation, because now I get to ask two people. Okay. Cause I haven't had any problem with my vision. I mean, I need to have really thick glasses to see. Hmm. So, Allison, how long were you officially blind for?
I was officially blind for, I guess, only a day, because I literally went right into surgery.
And oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're a miracle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was like a golf size tumor sitting on my optic nerve, and they were able to take it out. It eventually came back, but that's only because they were watching it. So like my 5-year scan, they were like, oh, it's back. So then I had like gamma knife, which is basically like radiation to take it out.
It makes my heart rush.
That they're watching it, you know, it should never get to that size again, but it must have been growing for years and years and years.
Wow. So you really didn't have enough time to react and think about what life would be without sight.
No. I mean, like, I had the moments waiting, you know, being prepped for surgery.
Right.
And, you know, the only thing that I kept thinking about, honestly, and this is going to sound, it sounds so ridiculous, but just bear with me.
No. We're with you all day long.
Okay, so like at that point, my boys are like maybe 7 and 8. I have they're now 17 and 16. So at this point, they're like, you know, younger. And I'm thinking, so if I don't even make it out of the surgery, right, you're out, suddenly I have a neurologist, I have brain surgery. Like, what is this? This is a random Tuesday and like my life is falling apart. So I was thinking like, if I don't make it, at least they'd have these photos because I've been shooting my kids their whole lives. You know, they would have these photos that I've taken of them that would hopefully someday when they're older and wiser, show them how much I'm crazy about them and like love them for all the little things.
But what did they have of you though? Did you have enough? I mean, not enough, but did you have photos of yourself that they could look at?
Right. No, I didn't. I mean, I hate being in front of a camera, but like my thinking is I'm still in a shot. No matter what it is, it's because it's the way I see it.
True.
But, I mean, you're still in a photo.
True. But they would want to see their mom.
Right.
You know,
I need to get better at that. But I like being behind it. I think that's why I'm a photographer. I like to be behind the camera.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was terrifying. I mean, besides the fact that this is, you know, all I've been doing, I've been a full-time photographer basically since I was 22. Because what happened was when I was 18, I loved photographing weddings, but I was like, I could never actually do this for a living. Can you be an artist, you know, in for real? And so I went, like, is that a possibility? So I worked in a couple offices, and what would happen was I'd photograph everyone's families and everyone's kids and like small weddings.
Yep.
And I would just sort of go through the cubicles, and like everybody would have pictures that I printed in my dark room.
Yeah.
And then that's, I was cool. Like, oh, I'm just gonna go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful that you touched on something like that, because I get a little sappy in the same way. And of course, you got to bear with me, because I'm a lot older. We're 57 now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jim and I are the same age. We're brothers. We're twins.
Yeah.
And she believed it.
He's 3 hours older than I am.
So this is what's crazy about Jim and I. And of course, our listeners hear it all the time. And I love to brag, because I don't know of anyone else in my life, and I'd love to hear a listener chime in, that have found their soulmate. I mean, we always talk about, you know, when you get married, it's like your soulmate, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But Jim is my soul brother.
I thought Fielding was your soulmate.
He's my soulmate from when I was in the military.
Yeah, okay.
So Jim was born in Oklahoma City, March 30th, 1963. I was born in Seville, Spain, March 30th, 1963.
But I forget what time I was born, 7-something.
You were 7-something, but with the time difference between the two countries, I'm 3 hours older than Jim. So we were born under the same star. I'm not from Oklahoma. I grew up in North Carolina and around the world. And then I settled in Oklahoma after I left the military. And then I found Jim, and we just hit it off immediately, as though we were like brothers. Just like, oh my God. I mean, we banter each other. We love each other. Then we hate each other. It's awesome. And then one day we're like, hey, I got a birthday coming. I'm like, well, me too. And then I was like, no, you need to pull your driver's license out. There's no way.
Yeah.
We have the exact same birthday.
Yeah.
And then we've been inseparable ever since. It's been like over 10 years.
Was it our 50th? I think it was our 50th that we had a
50th photo walk.
A surprise photo walk. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's enough about
anyway.
Us.
So with that, as I've grown up, I've always felt that, you know, coming from a Southern family and a Hispanic family, you know, our heritage is our children. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to give our kids everything they want. That's who's going to live beyond our mortal years. And I've come to the conclusion that while I do love my kids, my kids hate me. So they're not going to be my legacy. And my legacy are the images and the knowledge that I leave behind to others. Mm-hmm. It's the stuff that isn't materialistic in nature, but it's more aesthetic in memories. So as a photographer, I like to at least claim to be a time traveler, that we're able to take a slice of time in one place at one moment, and then in the future, we can take that person back to that same moment and that exact same emotion. And that is what our heritage is. That's our legacy is as as photographers, as humans. It's the relationships, the network, the knowledge sharing that I can share with someone that will make them be better person, better photographer, better whatever. And hopefully that is the piece of me that continues to live on this earth.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so that felt like a really big bummer when we're sitting here going to talk about funny COVID stories.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, our podcast does take side detours a lot.
Yeah, rabbit holes.
So I want to know, so I'm actually actively trying to get out of weddings. So you're still young, so your body can still handle it. When I shoot a wedding, we have this marketing thing we tell our brides. Because we meet with all of our brides in person. So I have never had a bridezilla, ever. Doesn't exist. So we meet with the brides, and if we're not a good fit, we just tell them flat out, like, you know, I don't think we're the right photographers. Let me recommend somebody for you. And I always tell them, I said, you know, we only shoot one wedding a weekend, so we can focus on your wedding only. The truth of the matter is, after a wedding on Saturday, I can't move on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know, because this has actually come up recently, and this is going to be a question that I'm sure you've never had being interviewed. Okay, so as a professional wedding photographer, okay, what's your favorite pants, shirt, and shoes to wear to a wedding?
I know where he's going with this.
I wear all black. I don't even know brands or favorite things.
Okay, and so the pants are very comfortable.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And your shirt is it a long sleeve button down, or does that vary?
It varies. It's not usually a long sleeve button down, but it's usually like long sleeve, like knit shirt. Something that I'm comfortable because I'm carrying all this gear. I mean, it's not a glamorous job by any means because you're carrying all this stuff around and it's heavy and you're on your feet for a long period of time. But and I've got cool like wingtip shoes that I wear.
Oh, cool.
You have wingtip shoes? Is that like your favorite shoes to wear to a wedding?
It is. They're actually really comfortable and I feel like they're fancy enough, but also comfortable enough so that I'm not miserable by the end of it or in the middle of it because my feet hurt.
Well, that's pretty cool that they're comfortable. That's a bonus.
Well, no, I'm more impressed that a woman's wearing wingtips.
Yeah.
Also, I can send you the link later.
Yeah.
No, seriously, send us the link. I want to share that with our, you know, because in wedding photography, I'm not sure who you associate there, but here, you know, wedding photographers get together. We actually even have a Facebook group for local wedding photographers and vendors, and that is an ongoing issue. Of, you know, what underwear do you like? What's your favorite socks? What's your good shoes? Because we're all pretty much, you know, we all have settled on the equipment that we're using. Mm-hmm. You know, we always have a digital camera, a backup camera, lights. We have, you know, our favorite lenses.
Yeah, you rarely hear about the clothing and stuff, which I've heard of a good, I forget what it was. It was a podcast or an article I read, but this person was talking about, you know, snack, anywhere from snack. What do you have in your bag?
It's not
my camera bag. It's what do you bring with you? You know, you got to bring snacks because you get hungry, and you got to bring this because of this, and you know all the little knickknacks, like even little clips or stuff that would be. And Robert's got stuff, I think, stuff that you would have for the bride and groom in a pinch. You know, oh my gosh,
your emergency kit. Yeah, you have an emergency kit for weddings, right?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah. See, everybody has it. You know, you got safety pins. You have like a little needle and thread. Advil, feminine hygiene products, a little deodorant. I normally get the stuff in the travel section at Walmart.
Oh yeah,
because that way, once they break the seal and use it, I'm not gonna. Hey, they only use this once, so
yeah,
you
I actually
can
did
use
that
it again.
I actually did this a similar thing not too long ago. I went and finally bought a bucket or a little container full of for headshots, you know, like
the
little makeup wedges and a mirror and a comb and, you know, all kinds of stuff in there. I'm very glad.
Did you get that from Gary Hughes' video?
No.
Because I did. He's got a great list on that.
No, I actually searched for it. I said, what's a good kit to have? What kind of stuff do you have in your kit for headshot sessions, you know? and it's a little, you know, Tupperware kind of bin.
Preparation kit, yeah. Just like the little extra stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. So you don't have a favorite brand of clothing that you wear?
No.
Now, dress according to the wedding?
No. I mean, because it's always pretty.
It's always pretty, the same thing, right?
Know, it's always very nice, and it's always just straight, like, black shirt, black pants.
So why do we wear black?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a great question. I think
it's very neutral. If you wore gray, you can't wear white. You just can't.
No. Not that you can't. You shouldn't. Two different stories.
Well, yeah, it's true. But
so why do you think we wear black, Allison?
I think we should blend in. I mean, I don't want to be the center of attention. Like, the whole reason why I'm there is not, it's not about me.
Yeah.
You know, and if I think any color or crazy pattern that I might try to pull, it would be like memorable. Mm-hmm. And the best compliment you can get is like, I didn't even know you were there for that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like that's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
So
I always tell them that I was trained by ninjas.
Right. Well, yeah, of course.
I was trained by ninjas.
Well, it's an event. And I do the same thing at events. You know,
I think it's pretty standard.
Yeah, it is very standard. Even for
most events.
Even for the sound guys and the serving staff.
Yeah, okay, hang on. Because Allison, I know she's got some stories. So that applies to professional videographers.
Oh.
How about those videographers? Have you ever seen a videographer in something other than a nice, you know, pair of pants and a nice shirt?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was going to, like, so that you can throw us a story about, like, hey, I saw this videographer. Trust me, nobody listened to this podcast, so you're safe. Don't drop any names or where they're from or a website, but you could tell us the story.
I'm going to just, like, kind of go over this lightly, but there was, like, a videographer. We were at a really fancy place. We were at the Union League in Philadelphia. It's a really beautiful space. The videographer was maybe wearing a few things that were quite inappropriate.
Hmm. Was it a male or female?
Female. And there was it was very noticeable because, you know, you're always in like crazy, you know, we're kneeling on the ground or, you know.
Oh, she was in a mini skirt?
I'm not going to say what she was wearing, but like, and I was getting yelled at. I had somebody from the league come over and say like, hey, can you tell your associate she, you know, needs to change? I was like, she's not with me. but yeah. So, I mean, sure. Of course.
We need to move to Philadelphia.
Why is that?
Because that's some kick butt videographers. I want to see that. I mean, the one that I had, we did, so it was an Indian wedding. So an Indian wedding, dots, not feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's probably not PC, but, you know, hey, people know who we are. So it was an Indian wedding, and it was an amazing couple. These guys were just totally awesome. But there wasn't an appropriate venue for the ceremony. So they actually rented a Christian non-denominational church.
I got to help you with that one.
You got to help me with that one. Do you remember that, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's gigantic. And we have, you know, we have cute names for the wedding consultants at a church. I won't mention that here. But let's just say the wedding consultant at the church gave us extremely strict rules on where we could stand, how far we could go onto the stage, you know, what we're going to wear, that kind of thing. We had five photographers, a really big wedding, five photographers. All set up. We had remote cameras, and the videographers show up. And this is no kidding. This is a very high-end formal ceremony. And he shows up in cargo shorts, flip-flops, and a white T-shirt that has on the front of it painted like lapels, like he's wearing a tuxedo top.
Oh, no. I forgot about that.
You remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
And then he steps onto the stage or the altar or whatever it is during the ceremony, and she came flying out of the back to me and just finger in my face. And we're in the middle of the wedding. I'm trying to do my job. And I'm like, he is not mine. And then after it was done, man, she flew in. She was all up in his business.
Well, who
and I didn't
him?
See him.
The couple?
The couple did. Okay. Well, with an Indian wedding, you have the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom. And while it is amicable situation, there's a little bit of pushing and shoving between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Just, do you remember that, right?
Yes.
So the best advice, have you ever shot an Indian wedding, Allison?
I have, but it's been a while, but yes.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
So let me tell you the best advice I got. And this actually came from David Edmondson, the Edmondsons out of Texas. They're friends of mine. And I know he has shot quite a few. And I called him up and said, I'm doing my first one. And I feel like I'm a little bit out of my element here. This is a very formal event. And I'm not that kind of guy. Okay. But they hired me based on personality. I'm a fun-loving guy. And he told me, he said, the absolute best advice I can give you for an Indian wedding is bring two extra photographers along. During the reception, walk to the mother of the bride and then give them a photographer for an hour to go shoot whatever they want. And then go to the mother of the groom and do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so many compliments. And they both said the same thing. They're both like, no, we're fine, we're fine. It's like, no, this is Jim. He's going to take whatever images you want, you know, during the reception. He's going to be your personal photographer. And she just was very polite and kept saying, no, that's not needed. It's okay. Take care of my daughter. It's all great. And I said, no, this has already been planned out. This is my gift to you. And as soon as I walked away, she grabbed a hold of my partner, Jim, here. And it was on like Donkey Kong. He was going table to table. It was crazy. Yeah. It was awesome. So we really love that. Okay, so enough about weddings because, well, I don't want to bore everybody a lot.
Well, that's okay. They can
just deal. It's really good information.
They
though.
Can hit pause or stop or whatever.
No. Because the real reason she's here.
Oh,
well, not the real
reason. The truth comes out.
Not the like, real what? Reason. We wait till we're actually recording to like, you know, we're like a jack out of the box. We just kind of pop out.
Yeah.
So you know what we're going to ask you. I'm sorry, you're nervous?
Suddenly very nervous.
We kind of talked. We touched on it before.
Before we started recording. We want to know about mm-hmm. you and Fuji because we are serious Fuji fanboys.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody shoots Fuji, they're immediately a much better photographer than anybody else out there shooting Canon or Nikon. And then when you add your beautiful smile and laughter, you're just like the total package. You're like the trifecta.
So I'll go ahead and ask, what was your first Fuji camera and why did you buy it?
Okay, so yeah, that's a great question. So I started with Canon. I'm a super loyal person. So I had been with Canon, never even thought about switching. But then I was at a wedding and I was like carrying all this stuff. And I saw this guest and he had the X-Pro 2 and he was having the best time. Mm-hmm. And I was like watching him and I was like, and he was like, oh yeah, this camera's great. Like, have you ever seen this? And I had never seen it. And I went home and I ordered it.
Oh, you did. So
and
that
was
like, was that at the time when X-Pro 2 was the only, what there wasn't the X-Pro 3. Yeah.
It was like right when X-Pro 2 came out or had been out for a little bit. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like I had never had a mirrorless. It was my first mirrorless camera. And I was completely like smitten with it. But still continuing my life with Canon for work stuff. But then I started to hear about a medium format camera that they were coming out with. And I started to like list, they're so good at putting in all this information before like the gear hits, you know, the stores. And so I was watching and listening to everything I could. And I was like, I've always really wanted a medium format digital camera. Couldn't go Hasselblad. Like it just, I really fell in love with like what Fujifilm was putting out there. So I pre-ordered the GFX 50S and I ordered like the 63 millimeter lens and the 120 because those are like the two prime lenses that were out when it first dropped.
Uh-huh.
And I got it right before we were packing up to shoot a wedding in New Orleans. And so I was like, I did exactly what you should never do, which is shoot new gear at a real, a live paid event. So I had the Canon on one shoulder and I had the GFX on the other. And I was like, where has this been my entire life? I was obsessed with the color of the pictures that were coming out, I was just like completely enamored with how quiet it was, how it was like 50 megapixels, and it was fast enough for me to keep up with everything that was going on. And I wasn't using my Canon very much, and I was having the best time with this GFX. That. And so I emailed someone at Fujifilm just to be like, hey, I love this camera. I just wanted to tell you, like, I've been brand, like, for me to be brand loyal for something for so long, for like, you know, almost two decades at that point, and switch and be like, I'm done. This is over. Game over. Fujifilm for life. Just wanted to let you know, it's awesome. And so that kind of opened the doors, and I started to have a great relationship with Fujifilm. And so since I've gotten the 50R, I have the GFX 100, which is now my new baby. And I got to be a Fujifilm ex-photographer last August. I was invited to the table for that. So I am fangirling over here just as much as you guys with the Fujifilm stuff.
Oh, yeah. You're loving life.
Do you still own your Canons? Or did you sell them?
No, I didn't. I've never actually sold gold. Like, I literally have a 200 2.0 sitting collecting dust in like a cupboard in a room I never even go in for my Canon. It's all sitting in the back of the house somewhere. In case my kids ever, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. It probably never get used, but yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful story. I mean, especially since, well, you did have the X-Pro2, but to go from, you know, you're shooting Canon full frame and then you go to the full frame and then you just, it just like makes my heart flutter, you know, because it's like, oh God, she's shooting. I can't imagine the feeling when you're shooting medium format at a wedding and just enjoying the heck out of it, man. That's a great story.
You mentioned though, you went, did you buy the R?
Yeah, I bought the R.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I like the R with the 50. Have you paired those, that lens, with the R yet?
Okay, so honestly, I shoot the X bodies. Uh-huh. I'm going to get a medium format probably next year for my birthday. That's the plan.
Okay.
But I love the rangefinder style because I actually shoot with both eyes open. So the rangefinder style to me is, you know, it's more that street camera. My training is a photojournalist. It's really what everybody shot. Everybody shot Leicas, the Nikons, even the Canonette, you know, that was like a rangefinder body. Everybody used the contacts. So when I fell in love with the X100, the original, I still have it. My wife bought it for me as a good camera to use on motorcycle rides instead of taking, like, you know, all my Nikon gear.
Yeah.
And at a wedding, I would just string the 100 around my neck and I just had it set to black and white JPEG. And it was my personal creation camera. So it travels with me all the time, or traveled with me all the time. And during the wedding, I would just take candids of people that I knew that, you know, just straight black and white JPEGs. And the bride asked me, she said, oh, can I see that last picture you took? And I said, sure. And I showed it to her and she says, oh my God, that's got to be my wedding album. And I thought, oh Lord, I don't know if this is going to be able to go 12x12 clear. You know, it's just because, you know, I was all stuck on full frame and blah, 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 blah. And so I did it. It looked fabulous. It was straight JPEG. So, you know, there was no editing in RAW. And it went great. So I would take it to different weddings. And again, just shooting black and whites. And I'd include that in the delivery, the digital delivery. And if they wanted it for an album, I'd put it in there. But I really wanted a different lens. So I had some extra cash, went and got the X-Pro2, which is, oh my God, it is so sexy.
Yep.
And I just shot the crap out of that thing. And then I just kept thinking, why am I beating myself to death with all this heavy equipment when this camera is very capable and the color rendition out of this chip, this X-Trans sensor, is just X-Transformational.
Right.
And so I just said, I'm going to switch. And did you have any trouble with other photographers, clients, or anything going from, well, you actually kind of jumped right away to a medium format. So I'm all APS-C. And I can't believe what I get a cold shoulder with most of the people that you meet. And they'll go, you know, that's not full frame, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't care. So I feel like a little rebel. You know, I love the camera. I love what Fuji, they've always had a great relationship with Nikon. I've shot some of the S1 and S2 Pro Fujifilm body. It was a Fujifilm sensor with a Nikon body. So I've always had, you know, I've always been back and forth a little bit, but I am totally sold on it. But I did grab a 50R at a trade show. And I have to say, I was just absolutely loving it. And then when I got home and saw the images, it was 50 megapixels of nothing but blurred photos.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, that is a whole different ball game. The shutter speed that you think in your head that you need to get a sharp photo when you're shooting a full frame or an APS, you're going to have to crank that baby up. And plus, I was at a trade show, so I was, you know, the MC, and I was running around yelling and stuff. So trying to shoot at a 60th of a second just was not giving me tack sharp images at all. Which kind of leads to this rumor that I heard that they're coming out with a, she's giggling because she knows something, doesn't she?
I know nothing.
I know, because she can't say anything. But just by giggling, that just, because I didn't even mention what the rumor was, and she is already giggling.
Okay, so say it.
Oh, okay. Have you heard anything about a new 100R coming out?
100R? Oh, the lens.
No. The GFX.
Oh, 100R. Okay. R. I don't keep up with the medium format. It's way out of my league. So, but that being said, I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, it's like the Nikon D3, D4, D5. You know, that the body is kind of like that.
Well, the body, you know, is, but the sensor is humongous. Oh, I know.
Yes, it's massive. And the lens opening, oh my God, the mount, wow. Yeah, crazy. Anyway, so, okay.
So she's not going to say anything.
So let's let her talk now. Let's let this be her show.
Okay. So let's do it this way. So Allison, if you had to sell me on a medium format camera, if you had to convince me to move to medium format, what are you going to tell me?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think, I don't know how it is in Oklahoma, but here in my area, there are so many wedding photographers right out in the world. And I wanted something different. I wanted to feel a little different than everybody else. So first of all, that's what I was banking on when I bought the 50S for the first time. And then when I picked it up, it was so quiet and, the images just are insane. And I'm going to tell you a secret. I shoot in JPEG and
whoa. Shut up.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Let's stop the podcast now.
I'll get lots of hate mail for this one. But the color is so good. I mean, and it's just, I don't have to edit and spend tons of time on my stuff. I really don't want to do a whole lot because I want these images to be timeless. I don't want them to look back and be like, oh, you got married right in the middle of all that Instagram filter phase.
Oh,
like,
God. You know, hate that crap. Yes, the whole new, it's like you spilt coffee over all the images that took me so long to create for you.
Right. I mean, it's just, so I just want it to feel, I want to, if someone's going to look back at these wedding photos 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I want it to be timeless. And I just love so much about all of the things. I love the way that it feels in my hand. I love where all the buttons are. It's just so intuitive. And I think it's just, before I made the total switch, I would have the GFX on one shoulder and like my Canon 1DX on the other. And I would do comparisons. Like in the very beginning, I would start shooting like comparable lens, you know, equivalents on each one and see which image I like better. And it was constantly the Fujifilm one, not only for the color that was coming out of it, you know, JPEG wise, but also just the compression with the medium format. There's something really special about it. And do my clients know the difference? I don't know, but it keeps me motivated.
Yeah.
And keeps
me
going. Right. And so like, and you need that when you're shooting your 30th wedding of the year or whatever it is. I want to be able to want to pick up that camera, and it wasn't happening for me with the Canon gear. And I'm, what, 4 years in now, and I still can't wait to go shoot anything I pick up that has Fujifilm's logo on it. So it's just, you know, for me, I think it's so beautiful. And the GFX 100 is insane. You know?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that I watched Robert go through that with the Fuji. Excitement.
My and love affair. It
made him so much more. It made him want to shoot more. He was, you know, he loves photography. Don't get me wrong. I mean, God, it's his whole life. And I just watched, you know, just hearing him talk, it was. I can't put it into words. It was just, you know, he was so excited, so revitalized, you know.
And you shooting JPEG?
I am.
Okay, so absolutely not. I'm impressed as hell.
Well, I mean, gosh, she's probably saving a lot of hard drive space too.
She has 100. It's what is it? 102 megapixel.
Yeah.
Right, but like I said, if it was raw, what would it be? Would it be 100? 100?
Like over 200 something megabit. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
Wow. Uncompressed raw files.
Oh my God.
I shot raw. I did this campaign for the American Heart Association last year, and I shot it in a studio. So I was like, and I was borrowing someone's studio space, and he's like, "You're shooting in RAW, right?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." So I shot RAW to one card and JPEG on the other, and I looked at both of them, and I was like, "I don't know. I love the JPEG. I don't need to fuck with all this stuff."
So were you using standard film simulation, or were you using something?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
I love, I think it's just the Provia. I mean, there's other ones that I'll play around with, but I kind of keep it just on the simple or like the soft one.
Acros or what is it? Yeah.
It's the Provia. I think it's the standard
Standard.
So I keep it on that. And the GFX has a nice filter it puts on people's skin. Like it softens that a little bit. So that is so nice. But we printed them. Fujifilm printed these images for me. They were like 4 feet by whatever. They were huge. And they were JPEG files, and they were insane and perfect.
That was on paper, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, not canvas. It wasn't canvas or acrylic. Come on, Robert.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know where you're going. Yeah, they were supposed to hang. We were supposed to have this big gala this year, obviously, and that didn't happen. But they were all supposed to hang in at this event. Now they're going to hang in a hospital. But I was so proud of how it all came together, and I saved so much time by just using the JPEGs because the color science is so good. So I don't know, like, It's like once you're you kind of let go of the idea that you need the biggest camera to be like the most professional photographer in the world, and you let go of that idea, it's so freeing. And you know, for me, like letting go of like I don't have to shoot in RAW to create beautiful images. I mean, if I need to, I can certainly edit an image in RAW and like figure it out. But like, I get the exposure rate in camera in the moment.
So that uses 2 card slots.
Yeah.
Now, are they both SD or is one XQD?
No, they're both SD.
God, to me, that's just smart. Because you know how much SD cards are compared to like Compact Flash and X Flash?
Yeah.
Those things are cheap.
So I got to ask, when you first started, when you went mirrorless.
Hang on, before you go there, I got one question. Because this is a question that Jim.
I'm terrified of your questions. Is this normal?
Why are you terrified?
I'm just kidding.
We haven't, you know what? We haven't asked you any Bazinga questions like you did with Peter Hurley.
Yeah.
And got a whole sidebar on that thing. So, you know what? When you listen to the podcast, just dial back a couple of years to the episode at Imaging USA
with Peter Hurley,
and you know what I'm talking about. So you have nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
So, but this is a question that Jim wants to ask you, but he doesn't remember it, and I'm going to remember it because we're twins.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we have had a recent debate about SD cards. Which SD cards do you use? Because I'm using the SanDisk Extreme Pro. And they split all the time.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to fill you in on this little thing. So I have got the SanDisk. I have the same ones as well. But I recently bought ProGrade. And I'm loving it.
Yeah. I bought two because I always like to buy two. because, you know, yeah, backups or whatever. But I had them a while back, but they're in the landfill right now because they died on me and I haven't looked back. So,
well, I was curious, do they have a lifetime guarantee? Or
they probably do, but
you could turn them back. What didn't you like about them? Because loves them.
They just didn't work. I mean, they stopped working.
Prograde stick?
Yeah. They didn't, they aired out and I couldn't get them formatted and, you know, they were just, I just like was very disappointed. But I do have a Prograde card reader. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, so do you have contacts at Prograde?
Me? No, I don't. I just happened to because I needed all these cards because obviously the GFX 100 kind of.
Oh my God. I didn't think, what size cards are you using?
It's a 256 gig.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Those are pricey. Yeah. Woo.
What?
So I have I have the SanDisk and I have the Lexar too. But I was, kind of looking around, and one of my friends was like, "I just got this and I love it, and I'm using it on my GFX 100." So I was like, "I'll give it a try." And so far, now you made me a little nervous, but so far it's been great.
Great. Now you made her nervous.
No. I probably should have given it more chance, but I was getting frustrated with the SanDisk because of the little dividers or whatever those.
Right, right. And I had the same problem.
And the cards splitting.
They split.
Because I'm hard on them, I guess. And I had one break off inside my card slot, and I had to painstakingly get that out of there.
Yeah, it
come out
it
because
out.
It had the little springs in there. But anyway, I just bought my second pair of Sony Tough cards. And
didn't mention that.
I just did it today. But they're one piece. I don't know about the Prograde, but they're all one piece. They don't have any, moving things. You know what I'm talking about, Allison? Yeah. So yep. They're really nice. It's only been maybe a month, but we'll see. Hopefully there won't be an issue, but anyway.
But I think
I was going to ask.
No. But I knew that we had had this discussion just a week ago or so, and I knew that she was using Prograde cards.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Okay.
I did know that.
Yeah.
I did. I research stalk our interviewees.
Yeah.
Well, for weeks.
I actually looked at the Prograde to buy them again, but the price was, not where I wanted to go. So I went with the Sony ones. They're comparable to the SD cards. But the SanDisk. But now I forgot what I was going to. Oh yeah, when you went to when you first started mirrorless, what was it? I know it was something about the fact that you could preview the exposure.
Yes, game changer.
I mean, I remember Robert talking about it. He felt like he was cheating.
I still feel like I cheat.
It was so easy. It was so, you could just sit there and look at it. I mean, I look at my screen so much now rather than the viewfinder, I look at the back of my screen when I'm shooting, and sometimes I feel guilty like I'm not really a pro shooter.
It's like you shoot with an iPhone.
Yeah.
With a really nice camera lens.
Right. So do you, I don't know if you do that with the medium format, but do you do that or do you not?
Do you do that or do you not? Can you make us a t-shirt that says that? Photo Facts Podcast. Do you do that?
So are you talking about, do I look at the back of the...
Well, when you're shooting, like if you, instead of like you hold it up and shoot like that rather than putting it up to your face. Because I think that I don't know why I do it, but it's when you put your camera up to your eye, people their whole look changes.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing an event or whatever, they automatically go, oh, he's aiming at me, he's gonna take my picture. But if you just have it down and you're just kind of I love doing that because it's so they don't even know. And I like the candid stuff, I'll do the pose, but it's a lot of fun when you've got a 70 to 200 and you're like getting somebody across the room.
So Allison, what things do I need to watch for when I start shooting this medium format? Obviously, the shutter speed.
Hard drive space.
Yeah, no kidding. My God.
Yeah, well, I don't really I mean, you said you were at a 60th of a second. I'm not really doing that. But, like,
I get shark photos.
Because I'm a professional.
I'm a professional, Robert. You're a hack. Oh, my God. She's so sweet.
Yeah.
But you know she's thinking that.
Yeah.
Her husband's right there, and he's, like, laughing. She's like, these guys are idiots.
Yeah. I don't do that.
Oh, God. Okay, so give me some tips when I get this thing in my hand. And, you know, you talk to Fuji and tell him to send me one for free. You know, what what do I need to watch for when I do that?
I mean, I think, you know, it's a medium format, so you need to be more intentional with the photos you're going to take. You can't just, like, decide you're going to take 50 photos of the same thing and just be crazy. You've got to be a little bit more
selective.
Intentional.
Yeah, and careful. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think of that. You're right.
Yeah.
It's like going back to film.
No kidding.
And I mean, I think that's part of the reason I love it, because that's where I started, right?
Yeah.
I was shooting film. I feel like I'm shooting film again.
It's
there's just a lot of thought and intention that goes into every photo you take.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, I had never thought of that. That's
how many shots you take at a wedding with that thing?
It depends on the day, but I mean, 1,000 to 2,000 to 3,000.
Ooh,
what?
Ouch.
Okay, what are you using for hard drive space for this stuff?
I tell you what she's got.
Holy crap!
I'm guessing Fuji has hooked her up with a server warehouse.
Yes. Fuji has tied into Amazon's warehouse S1 storage area.
What do they call that? It's a
server farm.
Server farm, yeah.
Remember that part she said, the back of the house, they don't go in anymore? That's where the server's at.
Yeah.
How do you guys know these things?
I've already, like, stalked you. I had to drive out there to your house to see how
and
you
saw
live.
The server farm.
Yeah, okay. And there was, like, all this heat map coming from it. You know, aliens are landing in their backyard. They don't even know.
Right.
Wow. So how are you storing all of this stuff? Because, I mean, a thousand images, that's 2 terabyte.
Yeah, I have a huge terabyte, lots of terabyte drives. So everything, and it goes by years. So, like, at the end of the year, I'll just get another huge billion terabyte drive and start dumping things.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So okay, but hang on a second.
So we're over an hour, but I don't care.
No, I don't care either. I don't care. This is going, because I still have one big question we're going to end on. But you talk to her.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to do a calculation right now.
Okay.
She mentioned 30 weddings a year. Okay, 2,000 to 3,000 images a wedding.
And they're 100.
And they're 236 megapixels or 36 megabytes each.
She's shooting JPEG.
28. I just looked. It's 28 terabytes on a drive, external drive.
Just
and that
one.
Is where the base of everything goes.
You have just one.
Just one 28 terabyte.
Ouch, that's scary.
Okay, what does your husband do for a living, and does he need another wife? Because I'm like holy smoke.
Okay, but wait. Think about this now.
I'm thinking about it.
You practice backup.
I do practice
backup.
Oh, her. Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. I have it backed up, like, on other drives, but, like, the main thing, like, when I get home from a wedding, it's going there, and
then it is
getting backed up on, like, different things.
Okay.
But, like, that's where the main stuff lives, and then, you know.
Well, still, 28 terabytes, and it's one actual drive. What's one drive?
No, it's probably one unit.
Right, but one unit, but it's got one spinning drive in it, not two. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because I've got one what is it, 8 terabytes? And it's dual, but it acts as one. So that one, so you have a redundant backup. Like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a...
Oh, you're sitting by your computer right now.
Mm-hmm. Allison?
Allison.
Yeah, I am. Yes.
What's the name of this
drive
magic thing that you have?
I don't know. Now you're making me all self-conscious. It's a Lacy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
28 terabyte external, 28 terabyte disk drive.
I didn't even know they made one.
Do you know why we don't know that? Because we're not Fuji ex-photographers.
Right. So, okay, let me ask you this. What is the I'm just curious because it's very fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I want to look at this. So is it okay? You know how big just a normal external hard drive is, right? You know, it's like it's
is
just
it 12
like,
inches.
No, stop. You know, it's like it's what is it, an inch or so tall or wide?
What, an actual drive?
Yeah, the drive. Not the actual, not the internal drive, but the, like when you get an
external drive.
An external drive with a case, with a box.
Okay, you know, I got one down here, and it's, I don't have my ruler handy, but it's probably a it's probably an inch and a half
yeah.
thick.
Yeah, so Allison, is yours that size or is it
it's gotta
double
be,
that
dude,
size?
It's got to be bigger.
It's bigger. Yeah,
okay,
it's bigger.
So it's probably got two in it. I would bet money that it's got two yeah. drives in it.
Jim, we have this amazing thing called the internet.
Right,
and
right.
I bet you that I can go on here and now. How do you pronounce it again? Is it
Lassie?
I think it's Lassie.
Yeah,
but I think most Americans call it Lacey.
Yeah,
L-A-C. Like Cagney and Lacey.
Right.
She don't remember that show. She's too young.
So does it have a model number on it?
What color are the cords goodness. Going to your
and is it USB-C?
Oh, it's gotta be USB-C, right?
Yeah, it's USB-C. Yeah.
Wow, talk about a rabbit
oh
hole.
My god, dude.
Lassie, 28 terabyte.
Hey, I have not been on their website in forever.
Is it silver or black? It's what?
Silver.
Silver, okay.
That, you know what, Allison, you had the perfect opportunity right there to take us down a rabbit hole if you would have said it was purple. Because we would have been on the internet. All the listeners yeah. would be on there going, I'm trying to find this purple Lassie drive, and I can't find it anywhere. I heard it on a podcast somewhere.
Does
oh,
it,
my God.
Does it sit vertical or horizontal or either or?
Dude, just it's okay. Just it's okay.
I can text you a photo later. I don't.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, there you go.
So anyway, yeah. So if
and it's
you're,
28 terabyte.
28, yeah.
I'm guessing it is a 14 terabyte dual. Like it's got two 14s in it.
I'm
that's
looking.
Still, even that still is gigantic for a drive.
Dude, it's 28 terabyte.
Yeah.
Okay, I sit here and brag to people.
I've got an 8 terabyte.
Well, no,
your Drobo, yeah.
Because I have the Drobo unit, yeah. And I have, I'm sitting at like 22 terabytes now, and I have everything that I've shot from 2009 on.
Yeah.
And everything's backed up in the cloud. And this young lady is popping off amazing images at a wedding, okay? Systematically using 28 terabytes a year on 30 weddings. And then wait, hang on. She's not erasing it and starting all over again.
She's
buying
it.
Another one.
Yeah.
We are in the wrong...
What? Wrong what?
We're in the wrong profession.
Oh, the hard drives?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Robert.
Yeah, we need to make hard drives. The PhotoFX Podcast hard drives coming to you live with 28 terabytes.
Hmm.
Okay,
so that's
wow.
I think we've beat that one to death.
We're wide awake now.
So
I was starting to snooze. No, I wasn't.
No. So what was your thing you were gonna ask before we wrap this up? So get off of the internet. And
no, dude. I'm on
to,
here now.
Back
so
to the,
what she's using is the Lassie 6 Big.
Why is it 6 Big?
Well, because it comes in a 24, 48, and a 60 terabyte capacity.
You said 24, 38, right?
Well, she said 28.
Right, but you're saying 24, 38. And
28, 48.
Oh, 28, 48.
Oh, dude, this thing is like, this thing can access 168 terabytes of capacity. Look at that thing. Okay, all right, so we're going to go on to something else, and then we're going to, so this will be your last question, so nothing to be afraid of. Actually, it won't be your last question because now Jim has my iPad and he is looking up the Lassie website.
Yeah, I don't think this is. I don't think this is.
You
what
keep
she's
looking.
Got.
She'll send us a picture. It's okay.
Yeah.
So you've been shooting Fuji for 4 years now.
Uh huh.
Have you ever attended the Fuji Festival?
No, I have never attended.
Okay, you're a Fuji X photographer, so you got pull with Fuji, okay? I'm just a peon at the end of the runway here with a couple of cameras. So I just discovered this right before COVID kicked off, and they had, at the beginning of the year, they had a Fuji Festival, Fuji Film Festival in Venice Beach, California. Fuji Film speakers, all kinds of trade show with Fuji items and Fuji support. And I sent them an email like, hey, when's the next one? So I can, you know, plan my day. Because obviously shooting weddings, you want to block off that weekend if you're going to be out of town. And they said, mm-hmm. we have no plans to have another Fuji Film Festival.
Hmm. So you want me to ask if there's another one?
Well, yeah, because I want you to plan it.
Oh, you want me to plan? Okay, so yeah, sure. I will ask and I will text you and let you know for sure.
Absolutely. If you could do that, like, you're already my hero, but I would have to get on a ladder to change your shoes. Okay, that's the position you would go to.
All right.
It would be like totally awesome. Because when I say that we're fanboys, you know, I think Jim and I would like sleep in our car just to go to this.
I think I will be honest and say you are more of a diehard than I am. I love my Fujis. Don't get me wrong, but you are like.
Do you know why you're not a Fuji diehard right now?
Because I still have my Nikons.
Yeah, because you're being let down by that. It is pulling you down like a boat anchor and not allowing your flexibility, your creativity, and your talent to float to the top.
Okay.
Are you going to talk about your X-T4s?
No. You are mean. You're mean. That's what she's got right there.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so, yes, just bought an X-T4 yesterday. So, I haven't shot it yet. And honestly,
he hasn't even set the date on it yet.
I have not even set the date on it. It's my wife's camera. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I shoot together. I always get the new stuff. So I'm the primary shooter and she backs me up and she's very creative. She's very, very skilled. So I try and be extra nice to her when new things come out. I try and like, hey, you know, this X-T4 came out. I think it'd be kind of cool, but it has a new battery in it. I don't want to switch battery systems right now. And she's like, oh, but it's got in-body stabilization. And I think that's really cool. And, you know, she has, I don't want to say it, because she really doesn't listen to our podcast. Until
She listened to you right now. She's in another room.
Is she in the living room?
I don't know.
Can't you hear me? Because the lights are off in there. She might have gone to bed.
You have a loud voice.
I do have a loud voice. I can be really quiet. Look, mm-hmm. look in there and see if she's in her chair. Can you see her in the chair?
No, I think she's in the bedroom. Okay,
good. All right. My wife, as lovely as she is, she has man hands. They're just like sausage fingers.
I didn't know you were okay? going to say that.
I mean, they're lovely. I mean, I'll kiss them, but they're just, you know, it's almost like kissing the Godfather's hand. Okay. So the X-T4, when we saw it probably about a month ago at our local camera store, Bedford Camera, she put it in her hand with the grip, and she says, oh, my God, I love the way this feels.
I love the way it feels.
It does, and I have girly hands. Well, I mean, they're fat girly hands, but they're girly hands. And so it's actually her camera. So she went and picked it up yesterday, brought it. I got it set up for her. She still has a pair to her iPhone. I'm really happy with the X-T3s. Those are like my work body cameras. But the camera that I carry around with me everywhere is the X-Pro 3. That is, the X-Pro 3 and the X-Pro 2 are my absolute hand-down favorite cameras.
Well, I want to ask Allison, so with your love of the, what is it, the 100?
Yeah, GFX.
GFX 100?
100.
Why did you feel the need to buy two X-T4s?
Well, my husband shoots with me as well.
Good. Good. Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah,
awesome.
So one of them is his, but yeah, and so I love it. And there's just moments sometimes when things go a little fast, right? Like,
yeah,
if they're running down the aisle or something like that, I'm gonna pick up the X-T4.
Yeah, okay, so that's good. That's
since
good.
Since your husband works with you, is he in the room with you?
He is.
Oh, so you really can't talk bad about him, can you?
No, but he's awesome.
Oh, okay. Has he ever done anything at a wedding that just makes you cringe?
Go ahead. No. I mean, we've been doing this for a while. I pulled him over to the dark side because he used to shoot for the newspaper, and then we got, you know, married, and I was like, oh, I don't feel great today. Why don't you come with me and just like second shoot? And I pulled him over to the dark side ever since then. But he comes from a newspaper background, so he's got like a great perspective and loves all the candid stuff just like I do and all the storytelling. So yeah, no.
That's cool.
Well, I'm so old. That's how today's weddings transitioned. So in the days of the beginning part of digital, as digital mm-hmm. started coming around to the masses in the, you know, late 1990s, early 2000s, what happened was, you know, I was trained formally in the medium format, four rolls of film at a wedding, and everything was posed. There was no mm-hmm. candid shots at a wedding. We right. produced a 20 to 40 8x10 album. That was the product that it came with every wedding. You did not get that. That's what it came with. So everything was shot on I was using a 645 Mamiya, and that's what we did. And then as the digital world, you know, in cameras as well as online, began to hurt the publications, the printed publications, a lot of photojournalists found themselves out of work. So they started picking up weddings to offset that income. And they began what we now know as a photojournalistic style wedding. And mm-hmm. I think now we're all, I feel a lot happier because it does tell the story of what happened versus just a straight documentation of two people got hitched on this day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably one of the things that makes you amazing. The fact that you have a background photographically and you understand the value and importance of the job that you do as a professional, and God, you got a husband that has a photojournalism background. Hello.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Now, is he as cute as you are?
He's cuter.
No.
I don't think so. I don't. What does he look like in a skirt? Does he look good? Oh, got God. Nice legs? No. What, was Ringo using mostly his clothes?
Ringo wore all people's clothes. We were getting stuff from everybody. It was such fun.
Oh, my God. Well, we're going to wrap it up, and thank you so much for being on the podcast. You were amazing, Allison. Stay on the line. We're going to go ahead and sign off, and then we'll have some after-the-show quiet private banter, okay?
Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, all joking aside, I have to thank you so much for at least me and some other people I shared your images with, bringing us a ray of sunshine with those great images of Ringo.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, we're going to be back with you here just in a second. All right, Jim.
Hey,
let's sign us off.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having us in your ears this time.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, hey, go give us a review on your favorite app. And also tell your friends, tell your photography friends, and tell them how awesome we are. And, you know, tell them.
Let's just play that baby up.
Yeah, just tell them how awesome we are, and we were a lot of fun, and hey, it's a good time.
Absolutely. And just please understand to our listeners that Jim is a single man, and he's looking.
Okay.
So he likes long walks on the beach.
That's not true, because there are no
great
beaches.
Great Italian food. And please send photos of your favorite camera to twins@photofactspodcast.com. And you will have an opportunity to go on a blind date with Jim on a future episode at a bowling alley.
No. Yeah. Hey, we did a podcast.
We did a podcast in a bowling alley. All right, we're going to sign off. Thank you so much. Listeners, please be sure to review us on iTunes and tell your friends about how crazy we are.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at trewickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofactspodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube Photo Facts channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.